Blog Talk Radio.
Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work it
requires, then he will be blessed in what he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beshem Yahusha HaMashiach. Father, in the name of your Son, we come before you, bowing the knees of our hearts, Father, giving praise to you, for you are worthy to be praised by the whole of your creation. Father, I ask you to cleanse my heart and my mind by the blood of Yahusha, that I be worthy to stand before you as a representative this day to speak on your behalf and to minister to your people. I pray that you forgive me for the sin that I have committed against you, willfully, unwillfully, and I pray that you strengthen me by your Spirit, that I become what you desire me to be. And I ask you on behalf of your people, Israel, that you forgive us for the sin that we have committed against you, individually, collectively, and that you cleanse each and every one of us by the blood of Yahushua HaMashiach, and that you strengthen us all by your Spirit, that we may all be submissive to your will, that we not go astray to the right or to the left, but that we do what is pleasing in your sight this day and from henceforth. I pray, Abba, that you give each and every one of us what we need individually, that we may overcome the burdens that we face from day to day, that we may overcome the thoughts, the emotions that hinder us in our walk with you. And I pray, Abba, for those who are suffering from physical ailments which prevent them in your fellowship. I pray that you give them healing and recovery. I pray that you bless each and every one of us spiritually and strengthen us, that we are all able to stand on your word, that we are all able to resist the opponent, that he may flee from us all, that we may all, even collectively, be united by your Spirit in mind, even as you have taught in your word through your servants, the prophets. Let this mind be in you, even as Mashiach Yahusha of himself prayed, asking that you make us one, even as you and he are one. I pray, Abba, on behalf of the sons and daughters scattered to and fro, that you bring forth that unity among your people who have a heart and a desire to walk according to your will and none other. Abba, I humbly and sincerely present these prayers unto you in the name of Yahusha HaMashiach. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses Torah, Moshe, his servant, Israel, his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And welcome once again to Bina Dura as we wrap up our teaching on Kohelet, the preacher, today. If you can hear me clearly, just shoot me a text to let me know that I'm coming through, and we will continue with the word that Abba has placed on my heart. And I pray that throughout the course of this journey through Kohelet, Brother Shlomo has given us a good overview of the happenings under the sun, simply meaning the physical realm. But the question, again, what have you learned as an individual? And the reason we started off with the passage from Yaakov or James, which is chapter 1, verses 19 through 25, it builds upon the lesson that the Moray brought forth Shabbat evening, but it also ties into the entirety of what we do every Shabbat. And what is it that we do every Shabbat? As one of the prophets wrote, Moshe is taught every Sabbath in the synagogue. So it is a practice of those who consider themselves to be Israel to, at some point throughout the course of this sanctified time, come together and hear the instructions from our Heavenly Father through the vessel He chooses for that time, for that moment. We've been going through, again, Ecclesiastes, and the prayer is that when we look at the Word and we consider everything that we've been going through, we don't look at it in the sense of looking out at other people, because I think a lot of times what we as believers do, and I believe we're all guilty of this, whether you want to admit to this or not, we look at the Word, and what we do is we look outside of ourselves to see how it applies to somebody else, because for some reason we don't realize how sinful, and as the brother mentioned last night, how wicked or how evil we are. It's easy for us to focus on somebody else. And when you think about it, consider when you were younger, and for the young people who may be experiencing something like this, maybe not firsthand, but you may observe these types of behaviors. You remember when we were younger, and then you had different people that would pick on somebody who may not have had as much, or they may have looked at, there was something that caused them to look a little different than everybody else. But it could have been something physical. And we picked on them and we made fun of them. But a lot of times what you find is that when people do that, they do that to take the emphasis off of themselves. Because when you go back, a lot of times when people were doing that, there was something that they too could have been picked on about. And if they came across the right person will pinpoint those, and then they eventually start going back and forth depending on the mindset of the individuals, and may even escalate to the point of them coming to blows. But for those who have seen or observed that, or maybe even participated in something like that, you know exactly what I mean. And I say all that just to give an example in regard to what we sometimes do when we're going into the Word. We look outside opposed to looking at ourselves. That's why Brother Yaakov, he mentions that it's a mirror. See, the Word, as has been mentioned before, the Word is for those who believe in it. This is not a document that the average person can pick up, read something, and say, oh, that it applies to me, it's talking about me. No, it's not talking about you. It can only be applicable to you if you meet the criteria, as we've discussed before. Have you dedicated yourselves? Have you committed your life to living according to this Word? Because if you haven't, then it's not talking to you. But if you have, then what this Word becomes to us is a mirror. Because it is revealing to us who we are. And that's what Brother Shlomo has been doing. He, by the wisdom that the Most High has blessed him with, he's able to look at every aspect of human life. Some people listening, they may say, well, not every aspect was dealt with. Well, in actuality, it has been dealt with if you understand the thought. Sometimes people, what we have to do, allow either, don't just focus on the Word based on our carnality and how we see, because we are limited. But when we allow Abba by his Spirit to then open that Word up to us, Brother Shlomo touched on everything that we can go through under the sun. He touches on it. But it's wide and it's broad. And it takes Abba once again to give us that vision, if you will. You see? But this is what he's done. And there's a message, you see? There are a variety of messages, and we're going to touch on a couple of things as we go through the lesson today. In closing, some of the points that Brother Shlomo brings forth to help us, you see, because remember, this is a mirror. This is a man who has been given wisdom. This is a man who has observed life from his personal experience as well as what he has witnessed, as well as what the Creator himself has revealed to him, giving him additional insight. Then the Most High moved upon this man by the Spirit, caused him to write this word for us. And when I say for us, I'm talking about for Israel, to be a help to us. And it brings to light some difficult realities. But it's the truth. And as a personal testimony, it helped me. And it helps me. And I hope that it has helped you, the journey of my life as an individual who has been walking according to the word of the Most High for quite some time. And I'm thankful to be able to say that for the majority of my life, I have been a son and have been walking as a son of the Most High for the majority of my life. And I believe that for most of you who are listening that have also been by my side, and what I mean, simply walking together, living this life together, experiencing this life together, we have did this for the majority of our lives. And we've had trials and we've had tribulations. We had some gains, we had some losses. You know, as was mentioned before, ebbs and flows, ups and downs. So goes life. And this is what Brother Shlomo is really trying to get us to see. Things are going to happen in your life. Being an Israelite, having this connection to Yahushua, having this relationship with Abba, does not prevent us from experiencing the human condition. We all have to go through it. But sometimes I believe that people have been misled to think that once you have this connection to Abba through Yahushua, that we are now protected from any difficulty that life has to bring. That's not what the word teaches. And this is why Kohelet is so important. This is not what the word teaches. That's why, as was mentioned before, if the Holy Scriptures was a party, Kohelet is that party pooper. Letting you know. As we say, sometimes, matter of fact, let's get to it. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting at verse 9, just to bring us up to chapter 12. So Brother Shlomo, he writes, he says, young person, if you spend your youth only having fun, if you use your early years just to entertain yourself, if you follow your heart as you live your life and let your eyes be your guide, understand that for all these things, Elohim will bring you to judgment. Now, think about that. Now, we touched on it before, so I'm not going to stay on this particular point too long, but that's it. Since we're here, since we're starting here, think about what Brother Shlomo is saying here. In essence, he's saying, live your life. And this one particular part when he says, if you follow your heart as you live your life. See, as Bible students, as Bible believers, here's what we're supposed to get from that. As Brother Jeremiah wrote, as was revealed to him, how our heart could be wicked. You see? So when we're living according to that deceitful and desperately wicked heart, keep in mind, for all these things, Elohim will bring you to judgment. But there's another option, which we, once again, as the Bible students and Bible believers we are, should also understand, once again, that the Jeremiah was shown, I would say, he was going to give us another heart. Matter of fact, he said he was going to write something on our heart. Brother Yechezkel talks about how he's going to change that heart of stone to a heart of flesh, something that's difficult to work with to something that's easier to work with. It's the word that does that. See, because our heart can also be on his word. And what I mean by on his word, as Brother Dawid said, he said, my heart is fixed. Is your heart fixed? Yahushua said, wherever your treasure is, see, do you treasure that word? Do we as individuals treasure his word? So let's move on. Ecclesiastes 11:10. Therefore, he says, remove anger from your heart and keep from harming your body, for neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. Again, it's like a vapor. Vapor. All is vapor. Think about what a vapor does. You see it for a moment, and then quickly, it's gone. And this part right here helped me, you know, in addition to another part that we saw, because in my mind, that's why I say the intellectualism part. And when I say that, I can't look out and just focus on what I see that's going on outwardly. I have to look in. Because we, too, use intellectualism, whether it be religion, philosophy, science. And in this particular case, I'm talking about philosophy because what I tried to do was give justification to what I feel, you know. So I was talking to a brother at some point, and one of the thoughts that I had mentioned that I advocated, and I encourage people to, you know, talk to Ivan. And when I talk to Ivan, as I've said and shared with you numerous times, just like you hear me talking to you right now, this is exactly how I talk to others. And if somebody was, and sometimes it's happening in my mind, sometimes it's verbal. And if somebody was to walk in and they hear me talking, they would swear that I'm talking to somebody because I am. But if they should open the door and see there's no person in the room, they probably think something wrong with me. No, it's nothing wrong with me. In that context, I'm talking to my father. By what I'm getting to and what I was trying to justify is me feeling this way. You know, in my mind, I'm saying, you know, I believe in Yahushua HaMashiach and my Savior, my Redeemer, and I accept the Torah, and I live my life according to the Torah. Am I saying that I'm perfect? Of course not. I may make a mistake here and there, but when I get up, I continue to live my life according to the Torah. So, that being said, is it okay that I'm unhappy in my life? And like the brother testified to Sabbath evening, I've often had the same type of thought. Overall, I don't really have a lot to complain about in regard to my life right now. Needing, wanting, Abba provides for me. And I'm thankful that he provides me the means to maintain the necessity to have a roof over my head, even though having a vehicle is not necessarily a necessity, but having some form of transportation or at least the finances to get to and fro, that is something that you need because you have to travel to take care of various things. But I'm thankful that he's blessed me with a vehicle and blesses me with the resources to maintain that vehicle. So these things I'm thankful for, but is it okay for me to still just be unhappy that I don't have everything that I want? But like this word says, and this is how I was justifying, again, philosophizing in my mind. No, I believe, you know, I'm living my life, I'm doing what I need to do. But is it okay if I do that and still feel this way? So he says this, remove anger from your heart. See? So when he says there's a time and season for all things, yeah. We're going to get to that in a moment. Now, there's a time and season for all things. There's a time for you to feel that way. But what Abba doesn't want us to do, he doesn't want us to allow our desires. He doesn't want that to rule our lives because, man, that is a seed of bitterness in my heart. And I have to remove it. And I pray that Abba continue to strengthen me from day to day, that I continue to walk according to his word, and that as I go through each day, I get stronger so that I can remove that. But for right now, I've still got more to grow to. I've still got a little more to learn, you know. And one of the things that I've come to realize, see, in some situations in life, you just have to live it and you have to go through it. There's nothing anybody can say, hey, let me give this brother a call. That ain't going, whatever you say is not going to change it. Whatever you think you're going to do is not going to change it. Some things happen with time. Time heals all wounds. As we are witnessing in the few of the members of the body of Mashiach who had difficulty, who had serious ailments, but what we see happening, we see the healing of the Most High. It's taking place, but it's taking place over time. See? They're healing. But see, the exact same thing applies spiritually, mentally, emotionally. The healing is going to happen, but it's going to take time. And then coupled with that, see, and then here's another thing. Think about this. You know, sometimes people have wounds, right? What happens then if they re-injure that wound in the process of healing? What is that going to do? That is now going to prolong the healing process because something else has happened, you see? And this is what I ask you all to understand as it pertains to me. Just keep me in your prayers. That's all. That's the most that we can do for anybody that's going through a situation. We often remind one another when somebody's going through something. Sometimes people even request to pray for this person or that person because the fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. Do we believe that? Sometimes that's what the person needs. No amount of words you speak to a person sometimes is not really going to change what that individual is going through because you don't know and you never know whether or not that wound that they had suffered has been reopened by another injury. You see? And it's not that I am not talking to anybody. I talk to Abba every day. That's who I talk to about my problems. That's who I talk to about situations that I go through. That's who helps me to see what I need to see. That's who tells me what I need to hear, whether it be him speaking to me directly, whether he lead me to something in his word, whether it comes through one of the more, or something else that he brings my way. But it's time. That's all. And that's what I've come to realize, you know. It takes time. And I want this thing to be over, but it's not going to be over quickly because other things keep happening. Enough about me. But that's to give you an idea. God is helping me, and he's been giving me the strength that I need going through Kohelet. And I believe everything's timing. See, when it comes to being a teacher, and not just a teacher, I don't want to limit it. Well, if that's what you said, if you're a teacher, then that means work. No, that's not what's being said. But especially as being a teacher, because when you teach, you, what we're not doing, what we don't want to get into the practice of doing is just parroting what the Word says. That's what everybody else does. Why do you think Abba led us as Reconedina, as Murray Ahab likes to remind us? Carnage Bina, get understanding. He don't just want us throwing out a bunch of scriptures, and then when somebody asks you what these things mean, we don't know what they mean because we just telling somebody what we heard somebody else say. That's not what I would want. I would want us to know why we do what we do. Why you believe what you believe. Why you practice what you practice. We'll get into that later on today. I will willing. He wants us to know these things. So now, being our through the understanding the Torah, understanding these instructions that he gave us. He wants us to know. The only way we're going to know, we got to live it. The word is just not some letters inscribed on some stone or on some paper. Some paper. That's the means that he used to transmit the word from generation to generation. When he said that we know that the Torah is spiritual, we're supposed to now be at the level of awareness that even though it's written on paper, that word is a spiritual word. That's why he has teachers. See? To convey what this word means by his spirit. Otherwise, all people need to do is just read it, and that suffice. But that does not suffice. If that was the case, why establish priests? Why establish prophets? Because that's not enough to read it. He has to have somebody now to expound and explain what these things mean, because we have a tendency in our mind to interpret what we read the way we want to interpret it according to our carnality, and that's where the problem lies. It's not our word. It's his word. And he has to lay it out for us. And this is what he does through Brother Shlomo. He lays it out. See, and that's the beauty of what Abba does. He doesn't keep anything hidden from us. As Rabbi took the rose garden, he never did. He never promised that things were going to be peaches and cream, apples and honey. He never said that. But he did say, through Brother Cupper, he said, through much tribulation shall you enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Through much tribulation. That's what he did say. Just like, as we're going to see, it's supposed to be this way. But let's move on. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. So he goes from there. Let me start with the thought again. My apologies. Ecclesiastes 11:9. Young person, if you spend your youth only having fun, if you use your early years just to entertain yourself, if you follow your heart as you live your life and let your eyes be your guide, understand that for all these things, Elohim will bring you to judgment. Therefore, remove anger from your heart and keep from harming your body, for neither adolescence nor youth has any lasting value. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. See, you done had some experience now. You done grown up now. You've come to appreciate life and value life more now. How many of you within the hearing of my voice value your life even more than you did than when you were younger? Because you realize how reckless you were when you were younger. You realize how foolish you were when you were younger. When you look at a lot of the decisions that you made, but as a result of that experience, now you've become wiser. And as now being older or mature, and more importantly, learning the way of the word. More importantly, we look back on that previous life, the lives of our youth, and we realize how thankful we are that Abba has saved us. Because we don't know where we would have been. I've often had that, you know, thought of going back to Egypt. I'm sure at some point we all go through that. It's a part of the human condition, once again. Remembering the days of old. Brother Shlomo touched on that too, remember? The good old days. See? So we call it that. One of the things that made it good for us as children is the lack of responsibility. See? Adulting teaches us that we now have to be responsible. And sometimes responsibility adds stress when you realize what needs to be taken care of. But in your earlier years of adulting, you're making decisions again, bad decisions. How many of us learned about credit cards? I'm one. That was something new for me. You mean I can get this piece of plastic right here, and I can go and I can shop, and I don't have to pay anything? That's a deception. You got to pay it. But then you say, oh, what's this, $10 a month, $20 a month, $30? Oh, that's not too bad. But gee, what you didn't realize, you thought it was going to stay $10 a month, $20 a month, $30 a month. Because this is new to you. You don't know nothing about it. You didn't realize the more money you spent on that card, that $30 a month turned to $60 a month, or that $60 a month turned to $120 a month. And not only do you have that one card you're doing that with, you got nine other cards you're doing that with, and you're racking it up, thinking that, oh, I can take care of this $10, $20, $30 a month. But when you start to see $120 a month times 10, you didn't plan for that. That was foolish. But you learned from that experience not to do it again, you see? So you're looking back, like you said. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun, the light, the moon, and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look out of the windows are darkened and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low and one shall rise up at the voice of a bird and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Yes, they shall be afraid of heights and terrors will be on the way. And the almond tree shall blossom, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goes to his everlasting home, and the mourners go about the streets. He's talking about as we get older, see, we start to look back at our youth, because to some, not to all, to some, wisdom comes with age. On your mortality, you know? Something I found out recently. Some of you may have already known this. When we hear the term being middle age, right? Well, middle age, I don't know how old people think that is, but if the life expectancy, and I'm basing this on two things, what the word says, that I will promise for 70 years and by strength 80, okay? And also, the life expectancy according to, you know, what man has established and based on whatever research that they have done is approximately 72 years, okay? But let's look at what the word says, and let's use that as a base. So if you were to divide 72 halves, you have 35. So when we hit that 35 mark, actually hit the midlife, 35, 40, roundabout. See? Because once we hit that part, if we're blessed enough to hit that part, then what begins to happen, and this is this is another issue that plagues my mind. You're getting closer to death. We should be thankful every morning we wake up. Every morning we open our eyes, the first thing that should come out of our mouth is hallelujah. Thank you, Abba, for blessing me to see another day. That's the first thing every one of us should say. Because some people didn't wake up today. Some people, and when I say that, well, some people may, yeah, people die every day. But here's what people got to think about. Some people didn't have the opportunity to make it right. They had the opportunity. They didn't know they were going to die, and they missed it. They missed the opportunity. How many people die and not come to a relationship with Yahushua HaMashiach, receive the salvation that has been offered by the Savior and the Redeemer? How many people die and they miss that? Yeah, every day somebody dies, several people die, probably millions. We're talking about a world full of billions. But how many of them have the opportunity to accept the gift that Abba has given to humanity? So every day we open our eyes, be thankful. Brother Strowman talked about when that sun hits your eyes and when you see the light of the day. Reason for praise, right? So he's talking here as we get to that final days, you see. He says, verse 6, before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is broken at the spring, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was. Hear that? This is the fate of humanity. This is what we're all walking towards. If we want to draw a line of our life, there's a point in time where we came forth from our mother's womb, where we existed in this physical realm and began to live separately. But at the end of that pathway, if you look straight down, there's a grave waiting for every one of us. That's the reality. That's the party pooper part. That's what's waiting for us. So let's move on. And the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to Elohim who gave it. In other words, the spirit of life that started it all. The spirit of life. See, life returns to Elohim because life itself is eternal. It's his spirit. It's of him. We all who are alive right now are only alive because we have his spirit in us. When he calls for that spirit, we drop. Just like Ananias and Sapphira did. He called that spirit, and you lose your life. We all have that waiting for us. This is what Brother Slomo, we call them out now. I got to bring this home now. This is what awaits us. So from the time that we're born, there's a prayer that we're walking to. Listen to what it says. Vapor of vapor, says the preacher. All is vapor. So when we go back and we look at some of the things that Brother Slomo has been teaching, right, that's one of the points that he's been driving home. When it comes to death, time, and change, right? In Ecclesiastes 2:16, that's going to go back over a few things. He says, for of the wise man, even as of the fool, there is no memory forever. Since in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten. Indeed, the wise man must die just like the fool. In Ecclesiastes 3:19-20, he says, for that which happens to the sons of men happens to animals. In other words, just like the animals die, we're going to die just like them. In other words, we ain't no better than the animals in that respect. The same fate awaits us. This is his thought. This is what he says. Either one thing happens to them. As the one dies, so the other dies. Yes, they have all one breath, and man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vapor. All go to one place, all are from the dust, and all turn to dust again. In Ecclesiastes 5:15, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. It shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. So death is awaiting us all. That's the harsh reality. When I was younger, and even sometimes today, if I get myself worked up, thinking about there's absolutely, positively, no place for me to go to escape it. Even as a believer. And I'm talking about the first step, which we discussed before. Okay? In other words, he's really trying to drive home, we have a short period of time on this earth. How many of you within the hearing of my voice consider how, or especially those of us who are now in our 50s, and you look back, do you ever ask, where in the world did the time go? We was living. We was living our lives. That's where it went. We lived. We lived good, we lived bad. We had pleasure, we had pain. We've been living. And guess what? Time did not stop for anybody. And guess what? Time's still moving. Even as you're hearing my voice, but you all know that. Let's move on. So death, that's something that's awaiting us, all right? Listen to what else he says. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 8:14. He says, there is a vapor which is done under the earth, that there be just men. He's talking about people who live in the right lives. That there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said, this also is vapor. Brother Yeremiah said the same thing. He says, you are righteous, Yahweh, when I contend with you, yet I would like to reason the cause with you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are they all at ease who deal very treacherously? You don't know how much that gets under my skin as an individual. As Brother Slomo continues, he says in Ecclesiastes 9:2, he says, all things come alike to all. See? You have some that are righteous who experience some good. You have some that are righteous who experience some bad. You have some that are wicked who experience some good. You have some that are wicked that experience some bad. You get the point. Okay? He said, all things come alike to all. There was one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifices and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that swears, as he that feareth an oath. When he dropped down to verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, he says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happen to them all. In other words, in life, there are no guarantees. Sometimes we're going to pray, and we're going to ask out for something, and he's going to give us what we ask for. Sometimes we're going to pray and ask Allah for something, and he will not give us what we ask for. It's according to his will. How does that rest on your heart and mind? It's the reality. Another thought, Brother Shlomo touches on is being thankful for what you have. See? Because, see, sometimes what I've done, some of you may have done this as well. And it's apparent that we've seen in several of the prophets, they felt the exact same way. Looking at all of the evil that people do, and yet they appear to be doing well. And we're looking at it only through the carnality because we're only looking at it from a financial or from a materialistic standpoint. Like they keep winning. Like there's a song out by DJ Khaled, "All I Do Is Win." And when you look at these people, it's like, dang, all they do is win. Why can't I win? But that's why I would have me going through this word, to teach me and help me better understand sometimes what we need to do is simply be thankful for what you have. So he says in Ecclesiastes 2:24, you know, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of Elohim. Ecclesiastes 3:13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of Elohim. Verse 22 in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he says, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, starting at verse 18, he says, behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which Elohim gives him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom Elohim has given riches and wealth and has given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of Elohim. For he shall not much remember the days of his life because Elohim answers him in the joy of his heart. Now, in Ecclesiastes 6:9, he adds, he says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also a vapor and vexation of spirit. What he means by that, better is the sight of the eyes, what you have before you, than the wandering of the desire, what you want, what you're lusting for. What do you have in your possession right now? Be thankful for what you've been given. And you know, one of the things that I don't like to do, whenever I'm in a situation, this thought comes to mind, but I don't like to think about that. I don't want to look at it from that perspective, but it is still a reality. There are people out there who are worse than you. I hate to look at it from that perspective because in my mind and the way I philosophize with it, I say what that basically does, it doesn't validate how I'm feeling. That's how I was looking at it. Can I just feel bad about the state that I'm in my life without anything worse happening to me? Because that's another thought. So when that thought happens, oh, there's people out there that are worse than you. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this. I thank you for that. I don't want anything worse happening to me. I mean, I feel bad about my life right now, but I don't want nothing else bad happening. That's going to bring me in a deeper, and like I was talking earlier, that's going to reopen that wound that I'm for who knows what tomorrow holds. See? But let's keep moving because we're getting to something here. Okay? Ecclesiastes 8:15, he says, then I commended mercy because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which Elohim gives him under the sun. So you see, these are the gifts Elohim gives. We have a portion. Now, what I'm not saying is this. What I'm not saying is the Creator has destined that in this person's life, they're only going to get this far, they're only going to get that far, That is not what's being taught here, so I don't want that to get misconstrued. I believe that what takes place in the lives of individuals is based on what we have chosen. Which, again, let's go back to something I've been sharing with you all throughout the course of this teaching. Bad decisions. Young folks, be mindful of the decisions that you make. Because you can't undo life. See, and I believe a lot of times when you look at the way the world is set up, you're watching a show, you may have to get up and run to get a drink of water or go get something to eat like a snack or maybe use the restroom. And, you know, you can stop that show. You can put it on a pause and you can come back and pick up where you left off. Life ain't like that. You make a mistake when you're playing a video game. Oh, you get out, you die. And then you basically start back over at what they call a checkpoint. Life ain't like that. Once life happens, it happens. It's done. Once you do the bad thing, once you say the bad thing, you can apologize for whatever you've done. You can try to fix it if it's something that's even, you know, fixable, for lack of a better way of saying it. But once it's done, it's done. It's like they say, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Once you put the toothpaste up, it's out. So we have to be mindful of how we're living our lives. And when you get older and you look back, and I'm talking about myself personally, maybe y'all look back and y'all perfectly fine with all the decisions you made. I'm not. I got a lot of regrets. Things that I wish I wouldn't have done. Or at least done differently. So goes life. You live, you learn. And that's where the teaching comes. So let's go. Ecclesiastes chapter 9:7. He says, go thy way. See, in other words, see, at this particular point when we were going through chapter 9, when he says this, in other words, he says, consider everything that you go through in your life. Don't allow these bad decisions. This is how it related to me. So I'm sharing from my perspective. Don't be letting or keep letting all of the things that you've done determine who you are today. Don't keep letting that pull you back, because sometimes what these thoughts become to us, they become a weight, they become a burden, and they prevent us from moving forward. That's why we think about the idea of baggage. You know, people carrying baggage. We all, throughout our life experiences, we putting things in a bag. See? Based on what it is that we go through, we bagging it up. And we're carrying it. And what I'm talking about how we think. Because when we're younger, things happen. We make decisions based on these happenings, and we don't realize that because we're carrying this, this is becoming a weight to us, and it's causing us to be sluggish, and it's hindering us in our walk. So one of the things that is beneficial for Bible believers, Bible students, when we look at the Word as being a mirror, what he helps us to see, he helps us to identify what's in the bag that we carry. And once we come to that realization, what he now helps us to do, unload that, unpack that. Get rid of that. You don't need that luggage. You don't need that anymore. See? Remember what form to this world? And I know a lot of times when we read that passage, we look at it as far as what the world is practicing. Yeah. But see, another part of the world system is the baggage that we carry will be part of the world system. It's not just keeping Sunday, eating pork, et cetera, et cetera. It's not just those things. The word cuts deep sometimes. Scripture says it's like a two-edged sword, right? Dividing asunder. Sometimes when he wants to perform as a great physician, when he wants to perform surgery on us, because he sees that there's an ailment there. And what he wants to do, he wants to remove that ailment. So what he got to do, he got to take that double-edged sword, and he got to cut us open. And when he cut us open, that's going to hurt. But once he cuts it open, now you start to see things that you didn't realize was bad because you've been holding on to these things for years. As the brother turkey backed on last night, the effect of childhood trauma. Couple that with demonic possession. Something's there. See? Something was triggered. Now, I'm not going to go off into that. We'll talk about that another time. But let's keep moving. Hopefully you get the point. He says, go thy way. In other words, don't be focusing on all the baggage that you've been carrying. Go your way, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for Elohim now accepts your work. Remember, he's talking to Bible believers. He's talking to Bible students. He's not telling a sinner to go your way, for Elohim accepts your work. Because we understand that the works of the flesh are not accepted by the Most High. He says, let your garments be always white. Take care of yourself. Present yourself in the best light. Be a representative. See? And let your head flat, no ointment. You know, one of the things that happens when a lot of times when people become depressed, they don't take care of themselves. When people are plagued with mental and emotional distress, they lose interest because it's like, I don't care for myself. I forgot the word they used to. It's not lethargic, it's another term. But anyway, you don't care for yourself. Think about the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you lose the love for yourself, when you lose not wanting to take care of yourself, something's wrong. They say that's what is self-preservation. I can't remember what they call it because if the thought fails me at the time, but you understand how important self-preservation is. You're not concerned with preserving yourself anymore. You have reached a low. Father says, don't let that happen. He says, verse 9, live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of the life of your vapor, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of your vapor. For that is your portion in this life and in your labor which you take under the sun. Whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. In other words, he's not just talking about doing evil. We have to understand, Abba, he ain't encouraging us to do evil. But whatever it is that you do, like Brother Shaul brings up, he says, do it mightily. Oh, I was a janitor, echoing like the words of Florida Evans. I was the best janitor I could be. See? It may be considered a lowly job, but when we go out to that park and we see all of those different porta potties and they're not being cared for, and we have to use one, and we open that door, and we see all the filth in them. We wish somebody was on that task, doing that job, and being a great janitor at that point. You understand what I'm saying? If they was on point doing what they're supposed to do, if they were doing what they were doing mightily, all of those porta potties would be clean at that park regularly. You understand? But anyway, he says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you are going. See? So be thankful. Whatever you have been given is a blessing to you. You may desire to have more than what you had. Be thankful for what you got. See? You may not be driving that big Cadillac. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with the gangster lean. You may not have a car at all, he said. He said, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Where do you think he got that word from? All the world does. They talk about the Bible being a plagiarized book. No, the Bible ain't the plagiarized book. Everything else is plagiarized. Well, how can you say that? Because the Bible came in at a certain time. But Abba didn't come into existence at a certain time. He's been here. This knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding, it's been here. He just dispensed it in its totality and in its fullness at a particular time. But he was dispensing that word to the patriarchs before you get to Abraham. They had to know something in order to live right before the Most High, in order to walk with the Most High. They had to have known to do something right. But anyway, another point that we've been learning as we go through Kohelet, that everything has Elohim. More Ariel touched on this when he was going through what is evil. So we go to Yeshayahu, which is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 7, where we are taught, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I am Yahweh, all these things. Now here's a food for thought question. Does this imply that the system is rigged against us? Think about it. I would say he does all these things. Some people may read that and get into that philosophical bag and say that it's all a setup, it's all a scam. Is that what I was saying? Is that what he's teaching? That the system is rigged against us? No, that's not what he's saying. I think everybody that's going to hear him in my voice already knew the answer to that. But some people will read that and they may assume that, like I say, oftentimes we like to get into our philosophical bag and we start to ask these what we believe to be deep questions based on what we read in the scriptures. But no. What we have to understand, what Abba is simply showing, is that he gave his creation a choice. Thing. The Creator didn't make us with this mind to be obedient. And what I mean by that, you think about a robot, right? A robot, or think about a computer. People talking about computer, AI, and all this type of stuff. AI, computer, and see, what all of these movies are basically trying to portray, they're trying to make it as if the computer has now got to the point where you don't have to input information into it. It's able to learn all on its own. No, the computer does whatever we program the computer to do. That's why they call them computer programs. Because it's something that we have decided, whoever the maker is of the program, we decide what we're going to make this thing do. Think about the school system, right? Humanity is in a system that is constantly being programmed. Some people may say, well, isn't that the same thing that the Bible is doing? The Bible is programming people to be a certain way? No. The Bible is not programming people to be a certain way. See, that's where people, again, for lack of understanding, and when they get into that intellectualism, when they dive into that philosophical bag, they like to say that. But this is what the Bible actually does. The Bible lays it out. The Holy Scripture given by the mighty one of Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. Let's make that clear. What Holy Scripture lays out is that there are two different ways that you can walk. See, as he said, I form the light and create darkness. These are the two ways. I've given humanity a choice. I'm going to show you what's going to take place if you choose darkness. I'm going to show you what takes place if you choose light. Now, what we've been discussing, follow me, walk with me for a minute. Brother Shlomo bringing out That's because you choose to walk in the light don't mean wickedness not going to happen to you. That's because you choose to walk in the darkness doesn't mean you're not going to experience some light, meaning goodness. That's what Brother Shlomo's saying. So you're going to experience both. But what's the distinction? So if I'm going to experience both, what difference does it make whether I choose the darkness or choose the light? If I'm going to, if time and chance happen to it all, what difference does it make? Why can't I choose the darkness and still reap the good? We're going to see that. We're going to see that. See, that's why the word is necessary to lay everything out for. See, what the world system doesn't do. See, when you get into your religion bag, nobody's going to say, well, this way has been set up as a decoy to prevent you from walking in the truth. No religion is going to say that. Every religious belief is going to say, we are the way. Every religious belief, man, I thought when I first came into this way of life, this way of life, like, you know, this is not just a religion, this is a way of life. Well, guess what? Every religion says the same thing. We're not just a religion, we're a way of life. When you get into the philosophies of the world, the philosophies of the world are not going to say, well, the reason why we ask these questions is to prevent you from believing in the ways of the truth. But this way right here, this is actually the way that we should all be walking. Philosophy's not going to do that. We already see science is not going to do that because what science wants you to do, science wants you to walk with them and imagine, see? And I finally watched this last Jurassic Park somebody told me about. And see, they keep putting these ideas out there. This is science fiction now. But in this science fiction, they're putting out the idea that a female is able to reproduce a child without the man. Why do you think they dropping these seeds? People, pay attention to what's happening. But I'm not going to delve into that. Pay attention. See, all of these things that's happening in the world system are designed to program you to not believe in the word. But what the word does, I'm going to lay it all out for you. If you choose to walk in the light, guess what? Sometimes you're going to have some difficulties. But what I can guarantee to you, hold up, brother. You said that life has no guarantee. Life has no guarantee from our perspective. But Abba is not a man that he should lie. So when he says he's going to do something, guess what? He's going to do it. So when we experience the difficulties in life, all Abba says, I got you. You're going to have some bumps and bruises. You're going to fall. You're going to skin your knee, twist your ankle sometimes. But guess what? I'm always going to be there to help you get back up. If you choose me. If I put my hand out to you and you smack my hand away and you keep smacking my hand away and you keep smacking my hand away, I'm not going to extend my hand to you anymore. See? Abba is the only thing that we can stand on. And we're coming to that. We're coming to that. Okay? Let's go back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, 12. See, that's the same. That's another thought that Brother Shlomo been bringing out. He says, Ecclesiastes 1:12, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This sore travail hath Elohim given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Hold up. Are you telling me that the Most High allow the world to be this way because he trying to exercise us? You think about exercise. See? He allowed the opponent to do everything that he's doing. Keep that in mind. Let's move on. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1, he said, to everything, there's a season. And a time for every purpose under the heavens, right? So you drop down to verse 10. He said, I had seen the travail which Elohim had given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. This is exercise for us. Think about it. What happens when you go to the pro professional teams, right, and you get into these camps, right, just before football season just starting? So before football season started, they had some new recruits. So what they have, they're going to have four exhibition games. So these are actual games. But what we're going to do, we're going to put all the new people who are trying to get on a team, on the roster, let them go out and put and play. Let's see what they got. It's an exercise for them. Let's see how well they know the plays. Let's see how well they run these different drills. Let's see what they're able to accomplish on the field. And it's a real game. In actuality, and I know a lot of times, man, there ain't no real game. It doesn't mean nothing. They say, okay, the Ravens is undefeated in all of the exhibition games. That don't mean nothing if you don't go to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. That's not added, like, you know, as far as games won, whether we won and won now. So that undefeated, I don't even know if we undefeated this year, but it don't make a difference to me anyway. But my point being, that they're exercising to see if they're able to go through these things. See, this is what their creator's doing. He allows the opponent, as the brother emphasized last night's lesson, the allowance of the Most High, see? An allowance, just like the adversary said when he was tempting the Messiah. He said he offered him all the kings of the world. He said, because that is what was given to me. That's like he told him when he was dealing with Job. He said, okay, here's what you can do. You can deal with everything around him, but don't put your hands on him. So then their opponent touched things around him. He went back to him. He said, okay, this is what you can do. You can put your hands on him, but don't you take his life. That's when he afflicted him with the boils. See? So this system is designed, this world system as we call it, right, is designed for the purpose of exercising the sons of men. He says, listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider. Elohim has set the one over against the other, to the end that man should find nothing after him. Listen to that. What are you going to choose? And he's watching. He's observing. See, and what he did, and when you get into the idea or the concept of the Most High being a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And you observe your patient. And how is it that it's not like the psychologist or psychiatrist walk around following the person? No, you ask a series of questions. Through these series of questions, you're able to ascertain different information, and they tell you what they're doing in their lives, if they really want the help. So he is observing, and he watches. Right? He's able to watch, not the real psychologist. I hope everybody understands what I'm saying. So he's watching, see? And this is what he found. You drop down to verse 29. It's clear that's the chapter 7. He says, lo, this only have I found that Elohim has made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. See? Man, find a way. And what did he find a way to do? Let's go back up. He says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, but in the day of adversity, consider, right? What was man doing? Man devised ways to keep sinning. That's what man is doing. Man is devising ways to keep on sinning. You got both things going on in this world. In spite of what man wants to do, he wants to keep this thing going as long as he can keep it going. If that means going against the laws of nature, we're going against the laws of nature. Listen to what's happening in the new. Listen, pay attention to what's happening in the world today. The system is corrupt. And when we talk about the seed of Elohim versus the seed of the opponent or the serpent, pay attention to what's going on. That's all I say. Okay? And as the Murei bring out different things, you start to see things clearly. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 5. We almost done, y'all. He said, as you know not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so you know not the work of Elohim who makes all. See, and keep in mind, Brother Shlomo said that. keep in mind, this is Brother Shlomo before Mashiach Yahusha. And I say that for a reason. Something else that Israel may or may not understand, but Abba has helped us to see. Hopefully, prayerfully, we're thankful for that. Abba been dealing in the world, dealing with the world in stages. We understand that what we're dealing with is the word of Yah. The word of Yah. There was a period of time that the word of Yah, he revealed things, but he didn't reveal the fullness of these things. And I'm not even saying that through the Mashiach, Yahusha, the fullness of it is revealed, but we start to be able to see a little beneath the surface now that Mashiach, Yahusha, okay, and did what he did. You see? Start to say a little more. He says, for who knows the inner workings of a person except the person's own spirit inside him? In other words, Brother Shaul, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Brother Shaul is saying, the only thing that we as individuals know is what's going on with us. That's it. Nobody knows what's going on with me unless I tell you what's going on with me, or unless the Creator reveals to you what's going on with me. Likewise, I don't know what's going on in each of you as individuals unless you tell me what's going on, or the Creator reveals to me what's going on with you. But I know what's happening with me because it's me. I know what thoughts I have, whether they be good, whether they be bad. I know what behaviors I exhibit, whether they be good, whether they be bad. I'm with me all the time. None of you are not. Only the Creator. See? So he said, for who knows the inner workings of a person except the person's own spirit inside him? He said, so too, no one knows the inner workings of Elohim except Yah's spirit. See? In other words, what he's come to understand, Abba doing something. And that's what we, as Bible believers, Bible students, have to come to understand. Abba is doing a work. Everything that we see going on, and when I say in spite of, I'm not saying to negate it and cast it to the side. In spite of all of the good, all of the bad, like Brother Shlomo's bringing up, that, you know, death, time, chance, being thankful for everything that we have. Abba is working a work. He never stopped. The plan's been in effect, and it never stopped being in effect. It never stopped. But we sometimes don't see it like that old saying now, that God works in mysterious ways. He works in mysterious ways because we don't see everything that he's doing. The only way we see it, like he continues, now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit of Yah, so that we might understand the things Yah has so freely given us. In other words, when we consider everything that we've been discussing up to this point, here's our question. Why did Abba allow the opponent to set up the world system in this manner? Why? Why? Now you got to take your mind back. As was mentioned before, Abba learns. He learns through his word. See, and now what we've come to understand, and when I say his word, let me say this too. Here, there's a distinction, okay? Sometimes when I hear people talk, they mix things up. And I want to just clarify. When we say that Yahusha HaMashiach, or if we say Yahweh Elohim, is the word of the Most High, we're talking about a separate and distinct entity equivalent to Elohim. And when I say equivalent to Elohim, I'm talking about Yah Elohim. Okay? Not saying he's the written word. The written word is something else. The written word is an expression of his thought. But I just want people to understand the distinction. But hold up, brother. If it's an expression of his thought, doesn't it make it him? Yes and no. It is the expression of his thought. And you can see there's an equivalence to being him. The word, as we've been given to live, is something different, and it's for us for right now. See, when we think about, for example, he says, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all things be fulfilled. In other words, there's going to come a time when the things that we're required to do in this world, we won't be required to do. You know why? Because this world was given to humanity. That means we're not going to have to do once we enter into what is referred to as eternity. That's why I said, until everything has been fulfilled, nothing will be removed from this world. So does that mean that once everything is fulfilled, that he stops being who he is? Of course it doesn't. And that's the distinction that we need to make between the word Torah given as instruction for humanity and the word of Yah in his being. He is mighty one. And y'all don't realize how much you want to... Nothing. Forget it. So hopefully y'all understand that point. Okay? Now, all that was said to say this. When Abba allows the opponent to set this world system up, okay, take your mind back. Abba created beings like himself through his word. He created his world. You understand that? We talked about that. And his word created everything else. So we have beings, which is referred to as B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, the sons of mighty ones. Okay? These are the Melakim. The Melakim were created with eternal life. They're not like us. They don't live and die. They just exist. But found man. Something happened. Something changed in them. That's why the scripture says that iniquity was found in the ringleader. That iniquity that was found, that iniquity was spread among a third of them, which eventually resulted in, as the scripture said, the dragon and his angels were cast out. Okay? In other words, they lost their position. They didn't lose the fact that they were not a king or angelic being. They just lost the position that they had. Here's where the Creator learned. That iniquity that was found in there, this is what we're going to do. We are going to create a species a little lower than Elohim. Adam Hawa, okay? Created them. We're going to allow the ringleader to rule over the realm under the sun and set up and establish this system based on this iniquity that was found. See, that darkened him, in other words. See? We're going to allow that. And we're going to see something. Like we said, he says, I have seen the prevail which Elohim has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. This sword prevail has Elohim given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Exercised why? Because he wants to see something. Let's go to Romans now, chapter 8, verse 19. We're going to stop there. Listen to what it says. It says, for the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of Yah to be revealed. Hold up now, something happening. To be revealed because I'm working the work. See? In the course of all this darkness, and this is where we got to see that the adversary is not winning. Okay? It's been mentioned several times. Our winner will get a little further into the adoption and things like that. And why he said that's one of the things that was given to Israel. See? When you think about what he said to Israel, and Israel, that's like a microcosm. See? Israel is a microcosm of what we call a macrocosm. The macrocosm is the whole creation, the whole world. Israel is a microcosm. So this is what he did. I'm going to choose these people. I'm going to use these. I'm going to choose these people. I'm going to use these people, the lives of these people, because they're human beings. That's like everybody else. I'm going to entrust them with something. See, like the scripture says, that for 3 days there was light in Goshen. I'm going to give them something. See? I'm going to give them the light. Here's what we got to understand. Just because Israel possessed the word did not make Israel righteous. Israel had to walk by that word, and what we have learned, the reason why we had to go through the whole Bible, because now we know from what he taught. Our forefathers had a problem with keeping his laws, his statutes, his judgments, just like we have today. They had a problem doing that. And he watched it. He observed it. But it was all for a purpose. Listen to what he said. For the creation waits with eager expectation for the children of Yah to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to vanity. He allowed the opponent to do that. To subject the creation to everything that Brother Shlomo has been talking about. That's why I say, see, Brother Shlomo represented another era. Even though he comes to a realization, even in that era, which we're going to get to in closing. But now that the cat's out the bag, as they say, now that the Most High has given us his Holy Spirit, now he has opened up that word so that we can see, like the scripture says, man only knows the thing that's going on with man. No different than the spirit of the Most High being able to reveal what's going on within the spirit of him. There's a work that's happening. So here's what he's showing. So the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, not of the will of creation. If it's not of the will of creation, whose will was it? But because of him who subjected it, it's talking about Abba. He allows us to experience the vanity of vanity. All is vanity in regard to everything that happens under the sun. What's the benefit of everything that man does under the sun? You got righteous men experiencing what the wicked go through. You got the wicked experiencing what the righteous go through. At the end of the ball, just like the animal dies and goes back to the dust, man dies, goes back to the dust. What's the benefit of it all? That's why you have people say, what difference does it make? Whether I choose to live right, whether I choose to live wrong, I'm still going to end up the same way. He says, for the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of decay into the liberty of the glory of the children of Yah. In other words, this is what I want to do. I'm going to exercise, man, with all these travails, and let me see who's going to pick me. That's why he says in Exodus that he brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. He's holding out his hand. See, a mighty hand, outstretched arm. He's in the heavens. I'm extending my arm to you. We understand Abba's arm, Jehovah. Yahweh, he's the arm that's been extended. How many of us are going to grab onto him? See, that's why when it comes to different things in the world, if a person hasn't been called by the Most High to teach it, they don't know what they're talking about. So here you got people out there with the fringes. I'm going to go touch this real quick. With the fringes. Everybody think of this, the fringes, that's the whole bottom of the garment. You know, they're looking at that as being a hem, and it's supposed to go around the whole bottom of the garment. There's a reason why he said on the kanaf. See, if you look up the word kanaf, it means a wing. Everything going to tie into what we're talking about. See? And he said, on the four wings of your garment. That's why it's supposed to be four of them. But you know what else? See, when you think about what it is that the Messiah is extending out, you think about children. And this is the image that I was getting. Think about Yahushua. Think about all of us being children. And you know how children, when you got this one person that likes to play with all the children, he comes around and the children say, you got children hanging all on his arm, children hanging all on his legs and stuff like that. See, there's something that we have to grab onto. See, that's why it's supposed to be four of them. It represents it as two arms and it's two legs. I mean, that's a little more to it, but I'm just giving y'all that visual image right there. That's what's being extended to Israel. That's why he showed that woman who was overtaken with this uncleanness for 12 years. She was looking to grab onto one of his wings. Specifically, not the hem of his garment, like the hem of a pair of pants, and you just grab it by the hem, or you got a shirt, that's the hem of four. That's not what she grabbed onto one of his wings, because that's what's being extended to us. All the travails and everything that's going on, how many people are going to, I'm extending my hand to you. How many people are going to grab onto that hand? And see, and it brings back to mind something we mentioned before, and this is the image Abba gave you. That movie, Kings of Blues, Billy Dee Williams, sitting in the darkness, extending his hand. And then he said, do you want my hand to fall off? See, that's the same thing Abba saying. Do you want my hand to fall off? I'm extending my hand to you. Vanity is vanity. All is vanity. But there's something else. Hold on, let's move. Because we want to finish this up today. See, Abba understood something. See, this is what he learned. Abba learned that we would only learn to distinguish between the good and evil, the functional and dysfunctional, by living through it. That's the only way. So he allowed the adversary, the opponent, to set up this system, this vaporous system. No matter what you do, it's like you try to do things, and in your mind, you think this decision that you make is going to be this grand decision, because I suffer from that, delusions of grandeur. I said thoughts of grandeur one time. I meant to say delusions of grandeur. Thinking more of myself than what I really am. Delusions of grandeur. And then when it all falls to parade, then you chunk down and you're feeling bad. And what that just did, that just gave you a cut. You do enough of that and you get enough cuts. What's going to happen to that individual? You can associate it with cuts, or you can associate it with, you know, loading up that bag that you're carrying. The more this bad decision that you make, the more you loading up that bag. The more bad decision you make, the more cuts and bruises you get on your body, and you get enough cuts and bruises, guess what's going to happen? You're going to bleed out. No sooner than you trying to heal one cut, you make a bad decision, and you got another cut. And you try to heal this cut, you make another bad decision, you got another cut. That'll get my point. I'm not going to believe that. But here's the thing. Again, Abba knew that we can only learn to distinguish good from evil through our experience. So he allowed this system to exist. The Moray touched on something last evening. And again, what that does, it confirms what Abba wanted to be saved. In Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with Yah through Adonai Yahushua HaMashiach, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of Yah. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many of us glory in tribulations? How many of us, when a bad thing happens, we get happy about that? It's just the opposite. With me, I was sharing with a brother I talked to recently. Never something bad happens, even in the congregation. You know the first thing that happens? I think negatively. What is it that I'm doing wrong? Why is it that we suffered so much death? Why is it that we suffered so much sickness? Is every other congregation going through this? And then you start to think about the congregation that's out there, and they find buildings, and these elaborate buildings, and these elaborate places of worship, and what are you subjected to doing what? Being out in the park. This is the carnality. You understand what I'm saying? I'm opening up a little bit more about how I feel about things. I want a building. I want a place. I want a beautiful place of worship. You think I don't? I've been wanting that. I've been longing for that. I've been desiring it. I've been doing things that y'all don't know about to try to make things happen. But guess what? trying to do stuff. But what I was saying is, And you know what? Sometimes we don't like to hear, But then your hands are tied. You can't make things happen the way you want to make things happen. So you have to wait. But I see all these things happening. The first thing I think, oh, my goodness. What is it that I need to do? That's me. So I say all of that to say, as far as glory and tribulation, I don't glory in tribulation. That's something I have to grow to. Tribulation happens. That's me filling my bag up. That's me feeling like I got another wound that needs to be tended to. So listen to what he said. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience. I see, that's what he's doing. Again, had a discussion with the brother. This is based off of the discussion I had with the brother recently. It's based off of what I've been helping me to see going through this book. So when I had these problems, I had these situations happening to me. So I fall. So there's another look at it. You can look at it as being wounded. You can look at it filled up the bag. You can look at it when the situation has, boom, you're the trip, you're the fell, you're on the ground. But this is what I've been helping me to see. When I get up, I don't let go of the problem. I know I'm saying but that's the only way I can express it. I know I'm not doing it by my strength. I can say that. I'm doing it by the strength that Abba gives to me. So what he's doing, he's establishing patience. No, son, that's not the way I want you to do this thing. That's not how I want this done. And you know what it is? Say that for another time. I'm not going to tell you that. Let me say that for another time. Abba, what are we talk about it? He says, knowing that tribulation works patience, he says, and patience experience. So now I just put my hands forth and try to do this and try to do that. So no, God, don't do it that way. That's not how I want it done. Now I'm getting some experience. Okay, won't do that again. I'm just going to stay put. I'm just going to keep pushing this plow. And whenever you want it to happen, Abba, it's going to happen in your time. Not my time, your time. A lot of times we think we want things to happen in our time. Gotta wait for our time. Hold up, brother. Wasn't you always supposed to learn that? Because you said wherever I was alive, you suggested this, you suggested that. Wherever I passed away, you did this, you did that. Then you figured out you need to sit back and wait. Guess what? That's one aspect. See? And that's something that Abba helped me to see this past week. Talking about that old serpent, that opponent. He's smooth with it. So you're so focused on looking at all the other stuff, you know, you don't realize he's speaking in the back way and he's doing this other little thing, and you're so fascinated by this other thing, you're not realizing that's him too. You know what I had to do? I had to give him kudos. I said, man, you got me again. You got me again. All right, I got you. I see how you is. All right. I had to give him kudos. I was talking to a brother earlier this week. You know, we had that conversation. He don't know this is what I was talking about, but in the course of the conversation, talking about how the serpent is able to deceive and mislead us, he didn't know. I'm talking about how I just got deceived. And I got to give him kudos. That adversary, he did a work on this world. He deserved a medal for it. He deserved it. Because he's talking about being a father of life. He said he's a liar and the father of it. Yahusha HaMashiach was on point with that, because that's exactly what he is. He's a master of it. And sometimes we lose sight of just how much he's a master. We so focused on stepping up and doing things the other way, and he come a whole different way and trip you up anyway. See? He says, but in patience, experience. And experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed. Because the love of Yah is shed abroad in our hearts by Ruach HaKodesh, which is given unto us. So out of all of that, what does it all mean? So let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's pick back up. Let's finish this thing out. So we pick it up in verse 9. He says, further, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yes, he pondered, thought out, and set in order many proverbs. He's talking about other things that he's done there. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written blamelessly, words of truth. The words of the wise are like gold and like nails, well fastened are words from the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. Furthermore, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. See, when it comes to physical reading, that is a labor, and it is weariness to the flesh. You know, I've heard people talk about, you know, being in school and achieving their degrees, and, you know, now they're doctors or whatever it is that they were in school to become, master of this, doctor of that, or what have you. But I've heard a lot of testimonies saying that they had many sleepless nights, implying it being weariness of the flesh. Okay? I'm not saying that to say that it's a bad thing. You want to put forth, I mean, it's been many sleepless nights. Matter of fact, anyway, I understand what this is. 7:18. Because throughout it all, even what we've been talking about and where we already know that we're going, we've been dropping a little hint. See, that's the 7:18. It is good that you should take hold of this. Yea. Also from this, withdraw not your hand. For he that fears Elohim shall come forth of them all. Ecclesiastes 8, stop at verse 12. He says, so a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged. Yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear Elohim, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before Elohim. See? So, back to Kohelet, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, starting at verse 1, where we all started. There's the words of Kohelet, the son of Dawid, king of Yerushalayim. Pointless, said Kohelet. Utterly meaningless. Nothing matters. Now that we have been through it, we understand why he says that. Nothing matters. He says, what does a person gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? What do we gain? If I try to live this way, it's not guaranteed this or that is going to happen. If I live that way, it's not guaranteed that this or that is going to happen. So what do we gain? So this is when he comes to the conclusion. Or this is what he says. This is the end of the matter. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here it is. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. We have looked at all of these different situations. We've talked about it. We examined it. We turned it and turned it and turned it and turned it. And guess what? Here's what we come to the conclusion of. Fear Yah. Respect him. And obey his voice. Keep his commandments. For this man holds. This is it. This is why he allowed the world to be subjected to vanity. To find out. See, this is why he's exercising man by everything that's going on in regard to these travails, these spirit. He's given us this exercise to see who's going to come out and still fear him and keep his commandments. Because if you're able to do that, what does that teach? That means that you were able, like the scripture says, these are virgins. In other words, they are untouched by this woman's fornication. See, what we're doing, we're iniquity that was found in the opponent's heart. And he allowed us to be subjected to it. We're born in the darkness. We're bred in the darkness. We're physical. Our desire we don't love the world. Like he said, love not the world nor the things of the world. How many of us actually not love the world? So in order for me to see this thing through, I got to allow the opponent to hit it with everything he's got. So he's going to cut us. He's going to fill up that bag. He's going to trip us up. And we're going to fall flat on our face. But how many of us get back up and keep moving forward? So, y'all, we should have said it like this. Remember last week. In other words, when I bring you out of this thing, don't look back. Keep pressing forward. Because, you know, if you look back and you see what we're looking back to, think about this. I've never been to Las Vegas, but from the pictures that I've seen, Las Vegas is like in the middle of a desert. So let's imagine a desert. You've got cactus and tumbleweed, and it's all dry and all dead, and that's what I'll say. But since you just left Las Vegas, that's the city of sin. But now you're walking down this road, and then you fall, you trip, and you keep going up, but then when you look back and you see all the neon signs, what you're going to see? You're going to see light. See? And you know when you go back there, just like Israel did, like the brother said, they had melons and cucumbers. And they had all the delicacies that you could. And you get up after you done fell on your face and you turn around and you look back and you see in the distance, you see that light that's all bright and beautiful. But you just left that. You just left that. Imagine you being hungry and them hunger pains starting to hit you and you're thirsty, your lips are so dry, they're starting to crack. I would want to see whether or not you're going to go back, whether you're going to persevere and keep moving forward. Because if you look forward, there's light there too. But here's the distinction. Here's the difference. One of these lights is artificial. One of those lights is actually the sun. See, but you know how the sun be? It hasn't rose yet. But it's like what we call the dawn of the light. When you see it early in the morning, just before the sun rises above the horizon. But you see that. See, that's the real light. Even though you look back and you had that, what they call that fork in the road, and you're looking at it from another perspective, folks. You're looking back and you're seeing that light in Las Vegas, and then you look at fork and you're seeing that the glow of that light. What are you going to do? This is what Shalom says. Here you are, and keep his commandments. For this makes man whole. For Yah will bring every work into judgment. See? Out of all the labor that's done under the sun, this is what he's coming up with. Yah is going to bring every work into judgment. So what if you're living righteous and you experience what the wicked experience? If you're living righteous, he's going to bring this work into judgment. If you're living wicked and you're experiencing all the glory and the blessing and what they believe is blessing anyway because they got a bunch of money, they got a bunch of houses, they got a bunch of material, guess what? He's going to judge them according to their work. That's what he's letting us know. Sure, living a righteous life, being respectful of the Most High and obeying his voice, it may not give you everything that you want. Be thankful for what you got. Because as long as you're living according to his will, he's going to judge you accordingly. It may not always happen the way you want, but guess what? He says, with every hidden thing, whether it is good, whether it is evil, Yah will bring every work into judgment. When you finally get to that destination, whether that destination be you alive at the coming of Messiah, whether that destination be that hole in the ground that's waiting for you, once you get there, like Job said, he said, although the skin worms eat my flesh, I know that in my flesh, in this very same flesh, I will stand before my mighty one. And when we stand before him, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear? See, this is where the additional information has to come into play. See? Do you want to hear, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I've never known you. But, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name. Remember that part of the scripture? Some people think they're going to be doing things in the name of the Creator, but in actuality, they're not. Or do you want to hear, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and inherit the kingdom that has been prepared for you. What do you want to hear? Israel, the choice is yours. Yeshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are righteous and true. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our power, and trustworthy are your words. One of your words is turned back to its origin and fulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate king. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his works. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise, glory, and honor be to your holy and to your most precious name, Abba, for the truth of your word. Abba, thank you for the blessing and the privilege that you have given me to stand before your people on your behalf to minister and share with them the word that you share with me. I pray that you engrave that word upon their hearts and minds and that you help each and every one of us individually come to a better understanding of the choices we have to make in our lives, that we may do what is pleasing in your sight. Yeshua Yahushua HaMashiach, I pray. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.